Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to talk today a little bit more from John's Gospel. If you had a chance to tune into the program last week, I went through John's Last Supper Discourse from John 13 through 17, which is a set of chapters, five chapters there that you could spend a lifetime on those. They're just so rich in terms of hearing from the Lord very, very clearly what he's calling us to, what he's done for us, what he's making possible for us, what he expects for us. So it's wonderful stuff. And it's the greatest teacher talking in the greatest depth about the most important information anybody could ever have. That's not an exaggeration. That's really what's going on in those chapters. Because Jesus unfolds the truth about he's going to Calvary, he's going to the Father, he's never going to leave us, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. He describes what the Holy Spirit is going to do and why he's sending the Holy Spirit. He talks about the mission, how we can bear fruit, what he expects of us. He gives us a picture of the level of unity and relationship with God the Father and others that we're actually being called to. I mean, it is just amazing what is there. And friends, I think if you just read those passages over and over again, just a few lines at a time, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the grace that the Lord intends for us to receive from his word, to give thanks for it, to commit it to memory, to believe all the promises that are contained there, conform your life to it, step into it, it'll change your life. It'll change your experience of life. And it will, more important than all of that, it will make your life more fruitful. The kind of fruit that will last, as Jesus says, through eternal life. So what I'd like to do is just kind of go almost verse by verse in John chapter 14, John chapter 15. We'll see how far we get today. If not, we'll kind of extend into another day or two, talking about the reality of what it means for us to walk in the Spirit. That's one of the key things. So I'm going to begin with John 14, verse 1. So Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me." So he starts there. He calls us to believe. He calls us to faith. What do we understand faith to be? Is to believe in who he is, to be convicted and convinced about his promises, and then to deeply entrust our lives to it, to walk in it in obedience. That's what Christian faith is really expressed in. It's both knowing the truth and living in and walking in the truth, and that truth is a person, which means it's rooted in a relationship. And that relationship is one of a radical abandonment of oneself from the heart, mind, soul, strength, in trust to the Lord to become his follower. So that's what Jesus is talking about here, because he's taught them about already what it means to be a disciple. And he's saying, okay, let not your hearts be troubled. In this world, he says in another place, he'll say it here in this section, I think, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. So the world, from the perspective of the Lord, friends, the place we inhabit is a place of tribulation, period. It's not like it's over. We're going to have tribulation in this life as we seek to follow the Lord. Now, C.S. Lewis and other authors have said some very interesting things about this, that even Ignatius Loyola, the great spiritual writer, leader, founder of the Jesuits, you know, he talks about how the devil's strategy is when our lives are not conformed to Christ and we're living under the power and dominion of the world, the flesh, and the devil, we're mainly interested in ourselves and our own goals, and we're not paying attention to God, which is really at its root sinful, and but also habit patterns of life in the wider secular culture that we're living in that are offensive to God. What the devil will do is he'll just lay low, and all he'll do is just keep encouraging you to go. He's not going to bother you, and he doesn't want tribulation to come to your life in the midst. He wants you to love it. He wants you to get addicted to it. He wants to make sure there's enough pleasure and reinforcement. Remember Jesus' temptations in the desert when the devil took him up onto the high peak and he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and all the money and all the influence and all the power, and he said, hey, this is yours. You can have it all. And I know I can give it to you because this world is mine. This world is under, much of this is under my authority. And I can give it to you, and I will give it to you on one condition. The devil said to Jesus, if you bow down and worship me. And of course, Jesus rebuked him with God's word and standing on the truth. And so this is the pattern of the enemy, and so you won't experience it. Now, when you begin to take Jesus seriously and engage the building of the kingdom, which he said he came to do, right? He said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. That means he's bringing the rule of God to the earth. And God's way, God's worldview, the commandments of God, the kingdom of God, the power of God, the mission of God, he's bringing it to the earth and the authority of God. When you begin to live under the authority of God, you're now a threat to the enemy and you're part of the resistance. We've landed in enemy-occupied territory, and it's like we're a resistance movement living in the midst of that. And when you try to resist, when you start living differently, that's when you become an object of the devil's concern. That's when he starts to stir up tribulation, opposition, persecution, trial. And C.S. Lewis had an image. He said, you know, like a, you never know how strong the current of the wind against you actually is unless you stand up against it. If you're laying flat on the ground, you can't experience, you lay down. You're not walking against it. But when you stand up to walk against it, you feel it. And so it's the same kind of thing in the spiritual journey and in believing. So Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled, but believe in God and believe also in me. Here's the central starting point for our new life in him. It's belief. It's faith. It's that radical surrender. It's that intentional, determined, wholehearted commitment of knowing that we've been drawn into a relationship, not just into a set of morals. The Christian Smith characterization more than a decade ago that he described, Christianity in America is actually lived in a way that's best described as moralistic, therapeutic deism. Moralistic, that it's a moral system. And the main thing is the commandments and the rules. And it's rule keeping or sin management, maybe is another way to think about it. And then therapeutic, that all of Christianity is about, it's kind of focused on me, my feelings, my experiences, my comfort, my concerns, my anxieties. And so that's kind of the center of the focus. It's kind of inward on oneself. And then deism, you know, is a belief fundamentally, it's the God who wound up the clock and is just letting it run. God exists, but he's not involved. He wound up the clock and it's running and the earth is running and he's distant and far away. So it's not personal. There's no experience of him living in us, engaging us, giving us power and new life to move into the relationship with the Father in the Son that he intends for us. So that's the key thing that we need to have. When Catholicism is lived as moralistic therapeutic deism, there's no power in it. There's no mission in it. There's no dynamism in it. And as a result, it's easy to walk away from it when it gets difficult. And that's what's happening with lots of people. The second verse, there's, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. What's really clear, friends, is that Jesus is the only Savior of the world. He's the only one that can do what he just described here. I'm going to go to the Father's house. And there, in the Father's house, are many rooms. And I know what room is set for you. And I'm going to come for you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's very important for us to hear the words of Jesus and internalize these. And to say, who is this man? Who is he? And realize this is why he became a man, the God-man. To make it possible for us to enter heaven and to come home to God, to God's house. And he's the one who prepares the place. He's the one who makes it possible for us to get there. He's the one who guides us all the way. And so our destination, our final destination, has to be in the forefront of our minds and hearts. It has to be. No matter how busy we are in this world, Our ultimate end ought to be the object of our movement. It's what moves us. And then it shapes every other intermediate end. It informs it and strengthens it. So it's really important to think in these terms. That's why Jesus is speaking this way. So when I go and I prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I'll take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him. So Jesus makes it clear. Who does Jesus think he is? Jesus knows who he is. He's the way to the Father. He's the way out of our situation. He's the way out of the kingdom of darkness. He's the way into the kingdom of light. He's the truth. He's the truth about God, about creation, about the meaning of life, about who we are, who we're called to be, the destiny of the human race. He's the one who has the true diagnosis of the human condition. He's the one who understands perfectly what is in this world, the good and the bad. He's the one who alone knows who the Father is, most importantly, and who we are and where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. And he's the life. Christianity, never forget it, friends, it's not moralistic therapeutic deism. It's not a moral system. It's not just a great philosophy. It's not just a way to live a good life. It is a new life. It's eternal life. It's divine life, revealed, made manifest, given to human beings who literally are dying. We're spiritually dead. That's the default situation of the human race, despite what lots of people think today. We are born into sin. We're born into original sin. We're in a state of alienation from God. That's a fact. That's it. It's all over the New Testament. It's all over the teaching of Jesus and the apostles. It's absolutely clear. It's deeply articulated and beautifully articulated, powerfully articulated in the Catechism of the Catholic Church and communicated throughout the centuries by the saints, the magisterium. There's no question about that at all. And why did Jesus come? To bring the divine life, to make it possible for us to receive power to become children of God, John the Apostle said. Or St. Peter said, we become partakers of the divine nature. We're sharing in the life of God. That's why there's a life after death for us. That's what it means to have eternal life. So Jesus is these things. He has these things, possesses these things. It's who he is. And then he's very clear. Nobody comes to the Father, not one single person, but by me. Jesus, as Peter will articulate very clearly, is the only Savior of the world. It's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that saves the world and opens heaven. Whether people who die in God's grace know it or not, they were saved by Christ, period. There's no other Savior. So it's so good to see just in one paragraph, friends, there's so much gold here that John wants to give us that Jesus is clarifying for us for our journey. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.